from the
WGN
Skyline Studio.
WGN Radio presents a conversation.
I want to make one thing perfectly clear.
A dialogue.
What are you prepared to do?
An astute debate.
Everything within the law.
And a peek behind the curtain of politics.
And then what are you prepared to do?
I think Chicago is not only the center of the country, I think it's the center of the world.
Don't tread on them.
Where did this statement come from?
This is the Sunday Spin. Your host is the Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, and welcome to this edition of the Sunday Spin for March the 22nd, 2020. It's an abbreviated version due to the president's press conference this evening on the coronavirus. We're going to try to pack a lot in here in the limited time we have. Apologies first to Dan Montgomery, president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers. Wanted to talk to him about issues regarding teaching students at home with the schools closed. We're going to have him on next week's show. So we'll thank you, Dan, for your understanding with that. And we're going to go right into the show now. We had planned a hour-long roundtable on the election results. We don't have an hour, so I will welcome to the show Bob Sector, editor at Crane's Forum, and Brian Bernadoni, managing partner and founder of Aurelius Public Affairs, which is a lobbying firm. Gentlemen, thank you so much. A lot to talk about, and perhaps maybe we should just start out with the fact of the controversy over whether the election should have been held at all.
Well, I mean, I don't think the controversy is over whether the election should have been held. It's whether it should have been held last Tuesday.
Correct.
You know, you can second guess this all you want, but it's a big logistical problem to just a day or two before you're supposed to vote, say, now, forget it, we'll do it sometime in the future.
It certainly depends on perspective, though, doesn't it, Rick? If you're Maureen Newman, you're pretty excited about the results. If you're Tony Preckwinkle, you're very excited that you got Kim Fox over the top. But if you're Dan Lipinski and you rely heavily on senior voters, yeah, kicking it probably would have been a better idea than most. So I think it's a matter of perspective, but I agree that the logistics of moving the election would have manifested some of the election day problems that they had regardless.
Well, and I kind of view it as, democracy still needs to move forward. And there was not an acceptable way to, despite the complaints of the Chicago Board of Elections, there was not an acceptable legal way to try to maneuver this in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what's interesting, we heard arguments about, well, they, you know, elections went ahead during World War II, during the Civil War, all of which is true. The reality is that we've never had conditions quite like this before where you know, just congregating amongst a bunch of people could be a danger, especially to election judges who tend to be older. But it was a difficult call. I mean, to second guess and finger point, against the governor because he wanted to go ahead with the election is a little rich. I mean, you know, he would have been damned if he did and damned if he didn't.
I think we're going to be saying this, Rick, about a lot of things in the coming months. Whatever the protocols that we had before Tuesday are gone, and the new normal is something that's going to be a hybrid of good ideas and bad ideas until we find solid ground again.
All right. Well, let's take a quick run through the election results. Obviously, starting with the Democratic presidential vote here in Illinois, Joe Biden 59, Bernie Sanders 36. I don't think there's any real surprise there, and I kind of, you know, going through some of the limited exit polling, it seemed to me that in this time of uncertainty, it was even more so a vote for Biden, just of kind of who you know, somebody you know, and not necessarily a time for a revolution.
The differential is a little higher in the suburbs. Oh, go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just going to say, what's interesting about it is that is that right now we're arguing about this enormous bailout package, which contains a lot of the elements of socialism that you know, were on Bernie Sanders' agenda. So we're, you know, we don't particularly want him overseeing it, but you know, we kind of like what he was talking about.
I think, again, we're in an unusual time. One of the things I was going to note was Biden did a little bit stronger in the suburbs than he did in the city, but it wasn't much. But it's still a difference that the further you get out, the further you're out of the city core, the stronger Biden gets. But to the point Bob has raised, I think it's still going to come down to how do we pay for everything? And the crisis, that while we're in the crisis, and while even what the president had to say today is that we need to shore up, the health system, and we need to shore up business. Ultimately, there's a price tag attached to everything, and it'll be interesting the further we get away from the crisis, what that reconciliation looks like, and we'll see if everyone is as supportive of things as they were moving forward.
Yeah, because right now it's just let's throw everything at it. And as the president said, well, you know, when we get to the other side, there's going to be this great economic uptick from pent-up demand and all of that. But I don't know that anybody's looking that far out at this point.
You got to remember, this is the same guy who said that his tax cuts were going to juice the economy and they would pay for themselves. So you got to take that with a grain of salt.
All right. Well, let's look at the congressional results real quick. And so, Brian, as you mentioned about Marie Newman defeating 8-term Democratic Congressman Dan Pinsky in the Southwest and South Suburban 3rd District, we also had in a close contest out in the Northwest and West Exurban Republican primary, where we had Jim Oberweis winning narrowly with about a quarter of the vote there to challenge Lauren Underwood, the first-term Democrat. And then in the 6th District, West and Northwest Suburban, Jeannie Ives, the former state rep, the unsuccessful Republican governor candidate, winning that primary to take on freshman Democrat Sean Casten. One thing I'm curious about in your mind is, in this atmosphere that we're in, things like how are we going to pay for stimulus packages and how many are we going to need, that whether the fundamentals of the campaign have changed from just simply, well, if you're a Republican, that means you're a rubber stamp for Trump, and if you're the Democrat, well, you're just a socialist, into, in this kind of a uncertain time, who is best to be a leader in Washington?
Well, I mean, that's a very interesting question, how it changes the dynamics of the argument. We've got Republicans, not just the particular candidates here, but Republicans who opposed the stimulus under Obama, now backing this even bigger stimulus under Trump. So it's going to be an interesting dynamic to hear the Jeannie Iveses of the world or the Jim Oberweises of the world talk about the need for austerity and frugalness.
It may be interesting to see if both sides have to develop a plan to pay, because the check is already written, and the money's going to need to come somewhere. And the most developed plans are going to be the more interesting ones. And I think everyone's going to have a presentation of how things are going to get paid. I don't think it's going to be as simple as a yes or no, because frankly, they're going to have some kind of bipartisan bill get through. So everyone's going to have to wear the hat on this one. One of the races that I think is also going to rise up is going to be an interesting downstate race, where we have Londrigan going up against Rodney Davis again.
That's the 13th congressional district around Springfield Central and East Central Illinois. Rodney Davis, who narrowly won re-election 2 years ago over Democrat Betsy Dirksen Londrigan. This is the rematch of that fight in Central Illinois.
There's some really good races in here, but I would urge all the candidates to not look past their opponents in this one because of the uncertain times that we're in, and to have really formed up plans. I think the primary victories are, especially in Newman's race, where she really ran on a rather narrow section of issues, she's going to have to expand them and show depth. And for Overweis in particular, he's going to have to find his safe ground, considering what a bloodbath that primary was.
Well, you know, when you come into that, the fact bloodbath, as I said, you know, he wins a 7-person race. He wins it with roughly 25% of the vote. Isn't there some unification that he has to try to do in that?
Without a doubt, you've got to try and you've got to shore up your camp and bring everyone together. And there, I think it's again the parallels between Overweis and Newman are interesting. That you have to really on Newman's part try and push her way a little bit towards the middle, because I really don't think the district is as liberal as she may have implied, especially last week on the Sunday Spin. And as far as Overweis goes, he's going to have to figure out how to embrace 75% of the Republican public that didn't want him in that district. There's the one thing that you'll find in both of those races is there is a distinction between both the Republicans and Democrats in that. So finding that middle ground may not be as difficult, but still it's an important thing because turnout's going to matter as always.
What about in the 6th district, the one where Sean Casten defeated veteran Peter Roskam 2 years ago, a district that had always been a Republican district, actually went for Hillary Clinton in the presidential by, I think, 7 percentage points. And now you've got Jeannie Ives, who is conservative and always controversial.
That's a great district. Oh, go ahead, Bob.
When she was in the legislature, she was a real fire breather, and she came close to a couple years ago knocking off Bruce Rauner in the Republican primary, but then essentially blew it because she went too far. And she just turned off Republican voters just enough to keep Rauner in the race, and that's going to be the interesting thing: is can she discipline herself enough to not go too far, to not scare people off, and. You know, we just don't know at this point.
No, and that's certainly the way she has approached this campaign, unlike the race for governor, is that talking about trying to, you know, bring people together and cross the aisle for support, where the actual elements of her across the aisle reaching in Springfield were pretty limited. Basically, dealing with some reforms at the College of DuPage due to some of the shenanigans that were going on over there and their leadership.
DuPage County is not as Republican as it used to be, though, too. And I think that's something that Casten will feel a stronger level of confidence to. And he's probably more closer to the middle out there. It really comes out to what the soccer moms of Naperville decide. And in a race like that, that was the difference before. That was the concern that, especially in Roskam's race, folks all of a sudden lost that mortgage interest deduction, state and local tax deduction. There's a price to be paid. Now there's a new bill on the table with all the relief packages that are out there. And it'll be interesting how Casten validates that that was the right thing to do.
The other thing I think you have to think about, this is really going to be a nationalized election. So local issues are not going to be as important in that race as the national issues. And You've got to think Illinois is trending ever more Democratic, and I suspect Trump is not going to do well in Illinois. So that's going to help Kasten and hurt Ives, especially if she wants to affiliate herself with Trump.
Well, and you know, even carrying that out to the 14th district, which, you know, I think they elected went for a Democrat once since the Civil War out there. when I look at McHenry County and those places, and to have a Democratic representative there, and I'm not sure that the ideological and partisan change has occurred as much in 14 as it has in 6. I mean, when you have those seven Republicans, only, by the way, Brian, for your note at the Tribune editorial board, only one of the seven made note of the state and local tax deduction limit and wanting to increase it, was not the one who won, even though the rest of them bemoaned the high property taxes, which, of course, other than that deduction, the federal government really has nothing to deal with. Just a point of information for you. We're speaking with Brian Bernadone, managing partner and founder of Aurelius Public Affairs, and Bob Sector, editor at Crane's Forum. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, and this is an abbreviated version of the Sunday Spin following the White House press conference update on the coronavirus. We're speaking with Bob Sector, editor at Crane's Forum, and Brian Bernadone, my friend, managing partner and founder of Aurelius Public Affairs, making quick work here as we go through the results of the March primary and what that may foretell for the elections in the fall. Moving things locally, obviously the biggest race locally in Cook County, the state's attorney's race, where Kim Fox won renomination, if not reelection, despite a concerted and expensive effort from Bill Conway. Also in the race were Bob Fioretti and Donna Moore. I kind of had a feeling she was going to win this one, guys.
I'm one of the happiest people on the planet. Tony Preckwinkle was able to get Kim Fox over the top, despite all that money that was spent, and despite, you know, what I would say, if you want to be pragmatic, a very aggressive tone, or otherwise you could say a very nasty tone of the entire election, that she won by the amount she did. It was over 50% of the vote. Is nothing short of remarkable. So President Preckwinkle had a great day on that day, getting at least Kim Fox over the top.
Bob?
No, I mean, I agree. I said she won very easily. So, you know, it also shows that you can have all the money in the world, but, you know, it still may not beat name recognition and incumbency.
And, I mean, this to me kind of was an interesting race because, yes, certainly all the attention about Jussie Smollett and how her office handled that. But at the same time, how she had the support, overwhelming support from kind of that progressive wing of the Democratic Party, not just kind of it was not a total establishment wing Democratic Party kind of issue here. Obviously, when you had establishment Democrats that didn't even put her on the palm card, like Mike Madigan.
It's hard when you expect to win a race with the help of an organization and parts of the organization go rogue, but that's almost a segue to what happened in a couple of the committeeman's races, where some of these races showed that there are much more strains of independent voting going on than some would want to admit. And one of those victims, I think, was Ed Burke. There's a few other races where you saw incumbent committeemen up against the wall, and a couple races where strong local incumbents like Iris Martinez all of a sudden sneaks past all the organizations and becomes the heir apparent to the clerk of the circuit court. So there were some surprises in there and strong indicators that there's a lot of slow, fat, lazy organizations out there that just had forgotten the old ways to win an election and weren't ready for the new ways that were coming very, very quick.
Well, Brian, I was going to mention about State Senator Iris Martinez winning the Democratic nomination and is the assumptive heir as Cook County Circuit Court clerk to Dorothy Brown, even though she was not the county Democratic organization's endorsed candidate. And Iris Martinez is part of the Cook County Democratic organization.
Iris's performance was amazing. Even though her commercials, if you watch them, didn't even slate her as running for the right office. There was a the screen showed that she was running for clerk of the circuit court, but the voiceover said she was running for clerk. Iris ran a very interesting campaign, but those are the kind of races that ward organizations come out. She won very handily her committeeman's position as well, and she's still formidable. She's got a strong ballot name, considering the slate of candidates that were there, and that's one of those things where a victim gets involved. And Mike Cubanarchi ran a solid campaign, but I think it's unfortunate that we show as Italian Americans a track record of not being able to get into the higher slots. Michael still remained at the Board of Review, but it's having an Italian last name in this state is still a problem for many candidates to get across the top.
Bob,
since
you don't have an Italian last name,
I do not have an Italian last name. I have an Ellis Island name, but but what I think is interesting, she's gonna take over that position starting at the end of this year. And it's the circuit clerk's office is a mess, and most people don't realize what it does or how screwed up it is. But it's a very important position, and because of the financial crisis we're in, it's going to be really interesting to see how she's going to get the money she needs to overhaul that office.
Gentlemen, I think, Bob, you just hit on something. This is something we're going to be watching, frankly, for a while now. What are the financial effects, state and local, on our governments and the economy because of the coronavirus? Bob Sector, editor at Crane's Forum, and Brian Bernadoni, managing partner and founder of Aurelius Public Affairs, thank you so much for joining me this evening.
Hey, thanks for having us. That was a tough act to follow, by the way, you know?
And thank you so much for listening to our abbreviated edition of the show. Next week, we'll have Dan Montgomery, president of the Illinois Federation of Teachers, who was supposed to be on, but got cut short, as well as Rob Carr from the Retail Merchants and Mark Densler from the Manufacturers Association.